welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Welcome to another edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And today I want to just share a couple crucial thoughts that God has given to me. Just recently, I was wanting to practice what I preach about taking some time away to restore. I took some time away with my family, and we went away from our community. We unplugged. I got off social media, turned off notifications, and just spent time being present with my family and with my Lord. And I got to tell you, it was refreshing, and it was something I needed. For many, many years, I spent my time grinding and grinding and grinding, serving and serving and serving, loving and loving and loving, because that's what I was called to do. I believed that I was to be running Mach 3 with my hair on fire, being creative, being fun, being energetic, being a leader, recruiting, scheduling, decorating, rearranging, all those kind of things that many of you as children's pastors, as family ministry leaders will do. And you know, at times we can keep that in a healthy place, and in other times we don't. And I've had time to reflect on some of those kind of things, and I was able to go sit up on the shores of Lake Huron in northern Michigan and have some quiet time by myself, and sat on a swing, and I began to watch the waves come in, and I noticed these couple trees along the shoreline, and I watched as the water was beating around the base of this tree, and I was drawn to get up and walk over, and I noticed that this tree had been there obviously for years, but all of the shoreline had washed away from it. I could just imagine at one time this tree was part of a grassy lawn, but then became part of the shore where the water was just now beating against it, wave after wave after wave. And I began to see that the roots of this tree were not only going down what I had to assume was really deep into the ground, but they were also spread out very wide. And so as every wave hit, those waves would go up and over or under the roots, and that tree continues to stand strong. I don't know how much longer it will stay there, but it reminded me of us as ministry leaders, that wave after wave, season after season comes, and as long as our roots are strong and deep, as long as we take care of ourselves in the right way, and we operate in the right kind of pacing and the right kind of strategy, and that we're intentional about what we do, our roots will grow stronger and deeper and wider, and we can withstand those waves. The thing that I'm seeing, though, and I'm hearing, is that a lot of leaders haven't taken the time, even though it's being preached louder and louder. I've heard more conversations and seen more blogs and podcasts about soul care, people speaking on it at conferences. And yet I keep wondering, why are so many leaders burning out? The statistics are scary, my friends. The statistics are frightening when you look at how many leaders are walking away from ministry, how many volunteers are quitting our ministries because what they see modeled. If you're having a recruitment problem, let me save you a lot of money. You don't need another system or another conference or another book. You need to practice what you preach. If soul care is a priority for you and you want it to be a priority for your team, you really do have to make sure you're living it out yourself. You can't just say it and then not do it. And so I had the chance to reflect on just watching those waves, and I started thinking about all of the season that we're in. And, you know, one of the things that I started to realize is we have to kind of change our thinking about all these changes. We started at when COVID-19 hit, just thinking that this was going to be a real quick temporary thing. I think all of us would agree. We thought it was just a real quick flu season and gone. And obviously it's proven that it hasn't been. It's going on almost a full year now. We'll be in a few months. And you know, we don't love change. We hate change. In fact, we get change fatigue. I've preached on this and talked about this in different breakouts that I've taught at conferences, that we have to be very careful that we don't just make changes for change's sake because we're bored. Well, COVID-19 forced our hand and we didn't have a choice. We had to make some changes. We had to shift. But did our thinking shift? You know, we can't fight the old ways and just eliminate them altogether without thinking intentional about why we need to change them. And maybe we need to stop fighting the whole thing of I have to hang on to the way I've always done it because that was comfortable for me and I need to find a new and better way. Maybe God is giving the church some new wineskins. Are you ready to receive that? Or are you fighting it, trying to put new wine in the old wineskin? A lot of us are still trying to do that. I see it. We're still trying to think, well, our fall outreaches have got to be modified, you know, trunk or treats. Well, what about doing something different? What about inviting your community to just walk to your church? Look around you. Now, I know some of you, your locations, everybody has to drive in, but consider a way to do something for the community instead of making the community come to you. Change up your trunk or treat to where you're going to the community instead. Look at some new ways of doing some things. What if we were to set up a couple times a year where people in our neighborhoods around our churches could just walk onto the property and be welcomed? Not trying to cover the whole city, but just love the neighbors around you. What if your church really took on a 3 or 4 block radius around your church and began to go and minister to those people, begin pray with those people, even if they go to other churches, just to say, hey, we're here and we love you and God bless you. But let's start thinking of some of the new things that we could do and let's not fight change. Let's change the way we think about changing. We have to have courage to sometimes say no. My coaching students have heard me say this, that you have to have a to-don't list. You need to put some things that you're normally doing in a normal world and say, I'm not going to do that right now. It's not a season for that. And put it away. Change what you're doing. Maybe the model that you're trying to run on a Sunday morning isn't the right model to run. And maybe you need to make a change. And maybe you need to have the courage to say, we're going to stop doing this for a while. And we're going to run with this for a little new thing for a while. You know, another thing that I think we need to focus on during this season is we need to think about why we're doing what we're doing. We need to go back to our why for ministry. Sometimes when we get fatigued, when we get tired, we lose sight of our why. You know, that's one of the things that God spoke to my heart about during this break was what's my why? Why did I start KMC coaching and now restoring leaders? What's my why? Well, for me, I want to coach leaders that are in children's ministry because I want them to lead more adults to reach more children. So I want them to lead more, to reach more. I want more kids coming into the kingdom and becoming disciples, resilient disciples. I want leaders to be restored in their heart, soul, and mind so that they can get back in and stay in the ministry battle instead of walking away discouraged and broken or limping on to a new ministry when the wound has not been healed. I want to be a safe place where pastors can come and talk and find someone that understands and empathizes and can journey with them through the process and through the pain to come out restored in their heart, in their soul, and their mind, and that their calling is sure and their passion is clear and they have a plan to intentionally lead forward. So I'm obsessed about the why. I want people to go forward healthy. And you know what? I think one of the most important things that you and I can do as children's ministry leaders right now is to lead confidently, even in total uncertainty. Craig Groeschel said that recently in a conference, I believe, where he talked about this whole idea that you got to feel the fear and lead anyway. I've got that now on a note on my computer. Feel the fear, but lead anyway. As a leader, you're going to see things that nobody else sees and doesn't need to see, and you're going to lead through it. Because you know what? The pathway to your greatest potential is going to be through some of the greatest fears you have. I know when God started pushing me out of my comfort zone, I thought I would lead in a church for all of my life. It terrified me to think that I was going to step aside and come out of a full-time position in a church to now really being a tent maker, to having to raise my own support, to trust God for everyday provision. I now have to raise my support so that I can be a full-time missionary and a pastor to pastors, because that's the calling God has now placed on my heart and on my life. And it's terrifying because I have to rely on friends and family and people I don't even know that see the mission and vision of KMC coaching and restoring leaders and feel led to give and say, hey, I'll partner with you because I believe in helping leaders and I believe in restoration. I want to see leaders stay in the ministry battle. But you know what? I know that God is going to lead. And I'm going to lead forward in a confidence, even though I have no certainty, except for the fact that the promises of God say that I will never lack, because God will take care of all the needs that I have. Great missionary said, doing God's work God's way will never lack God's provision. And I believe that with all my heart. God never failed one of his followers in the scriptures. He won't fail me. He won't fail you. So I want to encourage you as you're leading now. I hope that this few minutes of podcast will be an encouragement, that you will start thinking about how you're changing, how you're growing, how you're strong is your why. And maybe you need to clarify. Maybe you need to hit the pause button. I want to take just a few more minutes here and talk to you real quickly about this idea of restoring leaders, because I want to continue to get the word out about what this ministry is all about and how maybe even if you're not in the place where you need it now, you know of somebody who needs it. I want to ask you a question. What goes through your mind when I say Sunday's coming? What goes through your mind when you get a text message on Sunday night from your pastor saying, hey, we need to talk first thing Monday morning? Or what happens when you get that email on a Saturday night or a text message on that Saturday night saying, hey, I'm sorry, and you know the rest? You see, when you and I answered the call to join a ministry team, no one told us that behind the curtain would be one of the most high anxiety, stressful jobs on the planet. But research shows that's exactly what being in the ministry is all about. You know, I began to understand this myself not long after I took a position in a church. I was their very first children's pastor. And I was soon learn that not only was I serving with a pretty toxic, unhealthy senior leader, but that there was a power struggle going on between him and one of the staff members, an associate. pretty soon I found myself caught in the middle of a battle, a tug of war. But because I wasn't going to choose sides, I became a target too. And pretty soon demands became increasingly overwhelming. The projection of what I was doing and what I wasn't doing to other boards became foggy and misconstrued, and people began to form opinions about my leadership that were unfounded and incorrect. I was put in charge of different projects that just added to my burden of the growth that I wanted to see and the plans that God had put on my heart for the children's ministry. And I was soon asked to do things that were way outside even the parameters of my job description. But I continued to push away and push away because I wanted to prove that I was a strong leader and that I was a courageous leader and that I could do whatever I was asked to do. To my face, the leader wasn't hurtful. We were cordial. We had good meetings together. But behind my back, he made it very clear he didn't want me on his staff. He didn't want me on his team. And then it came out. And boy, did it hurt. I felt betrayed. I felt lied to. I was angry. I was drained. I had given all of my heart and soul and strength into this ministry, and I wanted to push through it. I wanted to keep going. I had people telling me, you need to leave. You need to get away. But I loved those kids, and I loved those families, and I didn't want to uproot my family again. You ever been there? Yeah, me too. And after struggling for a few more years of all conflict and the division and the mistrust, it came out. And in fact, the whole staff, it was revealed, was functioning in a very dysfunctional way. And we had to bring an outside ministry in to try to bring peace. Several staff was asked to leave. I was asked to stay on with a couple others. And it was one of the worst things I'd ever seen. And I began to question, why am I in ministry? Do I want to stay in ministry? I didn't like that. Wasn't why I got into ministry. I got into ministry to lead children to Jesus, to teach kids and to reach their families with the gospel, not to fight with other staff members, not to be so worn out and drug out that I could hardly stand. It took a physical toll on me. The anxiety attacks, the physical stress was just killing me. Inside and out. And I couldn't believe where I was. And I really, truly wanted to quit. Do you know that less than 10% of those who start ministry will retire? And do you ever wonder why that is? It's not because Sundays keep coming every 7 days. It's not because volunteers call off every Saturday night. It's not because of the accumulation of schedules and expectations, and the lack of support from leaders can be overwhelming and painful. Leaders are broken and wounded. And as I learned, unless you have someone to walk alongside of you and help you process the pain and the anger and the hurt, you'll just limp on. And you'll limp away to maybe a new ministry, but you're probably still suffering and experiencing what I would call bleeding from the previous wounds. And I fully get it. I was there. In fact, I told God, put me on the bench. I need to figure out if I can even get back in this game or not. Well, I want to tell you, I've been in ministry for 33 years now, and I've had other wounds and hurts, but I've also learned how to process. I've learned how to pace, and I've learned how to restore my heart and my soul and my mind so that my passion and my calling stay where it was when I first entered ministry. And now it's my life's mission to help hurting and wounded leaders get back in and stay in the ministry battle. And that's what restoring leaders is all about. I want to show leaders how to restore their hearts and help them return to ministry. I want to help leaders restore their wounded souls so they can live whole and complete again and learn to embrace their temperament, their wiring, to understand their calling and their gifting so that they can lead confidently in uncertainty. I want to restore leaders' minds so that they can lead at full capacity and therefore leading more and building their teams so they can reach more. We can show you how to do this. We can show you how to beat that statistic of 10% and stay in the ministry battle. It's time for so many of us to restore ourselves. I want to invite you to do two things. One, if you're somebody who needs someone to talk to, I would love for you to reach out. I want you to go over to restoringleaders.org, and I want you to click on a button that's right at the top that you can schedule a time to talk, to share, to be heard. I want to listen. I want to help you. And when you're finished, what I want to do is give you some steps of how you can begin that restoration process and find some joy in leading again. Now, if you're saying, well, Tom, I'm not in that place. Well, maybe you know somebody that is, and you can share this website with them. The last thing is, would you consider supporting the ministry? Would you go over to restoringleaders.org and scroll down, and there's a place that says you can donate. Any gift would be appreciated, because we want to keep restoring leaders as low cost or no cost to any leader who needs it, especially those in transition of ministry. Those that are suffering and burned out and still have a role, a position, a job, we ask that you can pay as much as you can without hurting your family financially to attend a retreat or an online care group. But if you're in between transitioning in ministries and you've been hurt and wounded, we don't want you to have to pay anything except to get yourself to a retreat or get yourself online for some one-on-one time. But we need people to support us. We need givers, monthly and special projects. Right now, our goal is to raise over $7,000 in the next few months because of some upcoming expenses that are coming to our ministry and to launch properly. So if you can help us, we would love for you to join our team. Sign up for our newsletter so you can keep track of what's going on and when retreats are coming, and share those with as many people as you can. Together, we can change what it's like to be in ministry. We can change the statistics. We can turn the tide, and we can see the gospel push forward. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. I hope that it's been encouraging to you. And again, if I can be of service to you, please don't hesitate to reach out. I'm here for you. I'm here to listen. I'm here to walk alongside of you. Believe me, I've been there, and I've wanted someone safe and secure to talk to. Well, I hope I can be that person for you. Thanks for listening to this edition of the KMC podcast. Join me again real soon. We've got some great upcoming episodes, some great resources to share, and some great speakers to talk to as well. So God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page, or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.